Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, for the buzz.
It's the Legends of Tomorrow After Show. Dave Child is here.
Now we are.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Legends of Tomorrow After Show. Breaking down every episode of Legends of Tomorrow airing Tuesday nights there on the CW. I'm Frank Moran.
I'm Dave Child.
And I am Lauren B.
Look at that, reunited, and it feels so good. Dave Child is back. Our circle is not complete for the season, everyone. So, folks, we'll be breaking down this episode. We'll do our segment, as always, what's your beef? To see if we can, who's got beefs with this episode, and if we can eat those beefs.
Yep.
It's a delightful.
That's what we've decided to do, that's what we do. We're still doing it.
We eat those beefs. Maybe. Right. And maybe you can eat that beef. Maybe that beef just has to just lay there.
Let it sizzle.
That's right.
Let the beef sizzle.
Pass.
Pass. But as always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and Dave Child's got his cell phone out, which means the chat is up and running.
I'm not just texting my mom. I'm looking at the chat. Come and talk to us. Tell us what your thoughts are. Someone's already asking what my thoughts were on the crisis.
Well, as MR Dave Child was not here last week.
True.
Quickly, what were your thoughts on the crisis?
I thought,
yes,
it was a little bit of a mess.
Yay! All right.
I enjoyed a lot of like the cutting away to like, you know, meeting all these people from all these different fan things, like even that Birds of Prey show from way back,
yes.
Smallville, all that stuff was really fun. I just kind of wish there was a bit more of a story involved the whole time. But I had fun watching it, so I'm not really complaining. I just was – it was weird.
Well, all right. I'll ask you. Would you rather have watched this five-part miniseries without the Ashley Scott cameo, without the Burt Ward cameo, without the Robert Wool cameo, and have – a better concluding fight scene with the Anti-Monitor at the end of the last episode?
No, I mean, I don't think it should be a choice. I think it should be, you should be able to have both. You should kind of have like...
Yeah, but in a world where we have budgets and you have to make those decisions.
Then I would rather have the cameos maybe.
Okay.
But, you know. Right.
Certainly that's what they faced.
Listen, I'm really excited for the Gleek spinoff show, because the one thing everyone was watching, they were like, but what about the Super Friends? We need a reference to the 70s Super Friends, and man, we got it. So it's gonna be great.
Well, this week, speaking of crisis, we are dealing with the ramifications. Yes,
I do want to say,
late on us,
because this is Legends connected, best cameo was the giant Bebo. Being in the crisis made me very happy because it felt like that was very true to the Legends world, and it was a nice nod to show what the Legends world is like compared to the rest of the super serious like superhero shows.
Yeah, but you know, okay, a retro beef from last
God,
week.
Frank!
Like, it took him so long to figure out that Bebo didn't exist after they tried, well, one, why they needed, Supergirl needed anybody's help. To pull that cord.
I know.
Like Supergirl needed like all three of the other people on there pulling with her. Come on now.
She's doing it. Listen, what that was it showed the sexism inside those characters to think that they needed to pull it. And what Supergirl was doing was being kind enough not to be like, I think we got this. So, you know, that was all like... That was all mental stuff. And also, Bebo was knocking over things. It just took until they tried to, like, pull it to say that it was there. It was just made of, like, goo.
Sure. Okay.
So, all I right. believe I ate that.
Just that was our little appetizer for what I had. Right. I know, Lauren, I know you were very excited.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I've gotten myself into, the show. Oh, no.
Oh, I'm taking it all in.
One thing on the chat, Rabner28, good to see you back, by the way. They did what I've always wanted, having Arrow characters react to Legend situations, which was kind of nice. That's what it was.
Well, this episode is our full real start to the season here, as Lauren and I were talking last week.
Right.
Our season premiere was just kind of wrapping up our coda to Crisis. Season episode two, though, Meet the Legends, kicks this season into full gear for season five. And we see the Legends kind of dealing with the repercussions of season four. They're now famous. They're now rock stars, so to speak, while Sarah is dealing with the ramifications of what happened with Crisis. And we pick it up as both those things are kind of, they come to a head together there. So do you like, Lauren, I'll ask you, do you like seeing the Legends treated as rock stars? Do you feel like they finally earned the sort of status?
I think they've earned it, but I don't like seeing it because even as they said it in the writing for the show, they're not acting like themselves. They're just continuously putting on this facade and being super dramatic and over the top for the camera. And for me, it took me out of the moment and I like them as their quirky, goofy, careless selves that are just making mistakes and enjoying their moment and trying their best to save the day, but failing miserably.
Right. But don't you think that's what they were kind of doing when given fame? They were just trying to be what they thought they were supposed to do as famous? Like,
this is true.
Yeah.
This is true. But for the moment, I felt like it just took us out of it. They were doing it, but it was amplified like by 10, and it was just cornier to watch.
Right. I don't know. I love, this is the type of tone that I love whenever the Legends make this tone of like, just, it's, this was a comedy episode. This is a full-blown comedy episode. And I feel like the show is the strongest when they go for comedy. Whenever it tries to get a little serious or have a little bit of heartstrings, that's usually for me where it gets a little like, trips up a little bit.
And I'm the opposite. I love it when they go for the serious.
Yeah. I thought like a great example, for instance, just to kind of jump right ahead, is the Ava and like Sarah serious discussion that they had. Mm-hmm. But as they did that, they were beating up people and like those people behind them. And I feel like that's the type of like, that's as serious as I want them to get. That's that where they're having a heart-to-heart, they're forgiving one another, we're having this great relationship that we can really appreciate, but at the same time, they're kind of beating up people that like around them. So I kind of, that's the kind of like, I love it when it gets corny and goofball-y.
Well, I mean, I feel like I can see where you're coming from, Dave, and I think I enjoy that too, but I also need those moments of, we need to ground it in some sort of believability, at least for a moment. Unless you're saying this is a completely, if you're going to say, this is a sitcom now, this is no longer a action-adventure TV show. It's like, so then I need just at least a little bit of like, okay, this is a semblance of how a real human being would react in these circumstances. So when they give me a little bit of that, I'm fine. Give me all the other stuff, but I just need just a moment at least.
Do you think they didn't do that this time around?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they had it so like, you know, like, for instance, Nate. Let's look at Nate.
Yes.
He became, like, this, you know, cover model. But he's, like, an attractive guy. So I feel like if he became famous suddenly and he had, like, an amusement park, he would try to be that, like, oh, hi, how's it going? Like, have the that whole fake
suaveness.
Yeah, suaveness, and be like, and he'll take those photos and he'll do all that stuff. And that kind of felt like it was real to the character, at least, like this goofy character.
Is it real to you, Dave? When you blow up after this film you're working on right now, when it blows up and it goes global, will you be able to keep any semblance of yourself, or are you going to lose
You're going to lose me entirely. I'm going to just be like gone in the fame of the world. It's going to be lost. I'm going to be lost. You won't recognize me whatsoever. I'll get skinny. I'll get that famous skinny that happens when fat guys become famous.
Like Jonah Hill?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to be like Jonah Hill skinny. You just wait. I'll be Ron Funches, Jonah Hill skinny, just all over the place. It'll be great.
Well, we also get to meet our new legend. We saw him at the tail end of season four. Zari's brother, who in the original timeline had died, and that's how she got the totem, to control air. But now we see Bayrod is now part of the legends in this new timeline, now that Hayworld has changed history. So we were first meeting Bayrod for the first time. What did you think, Lauren?
You know, there's a lot going on with this new timeline, and I'm not quite sure if I'm ready to accept everybody for who they are in these moments.
Already judging.
Already got beef.
Yeah, so I'm gonna leave it at that for right now.
All right. Oh. Do you have more to say on this? Because if it's a beef, we'll save it to we'll
not
a beef.
Not this time.
All right.
Okay, this is a potential beef.
Okay.
Still a cow.
That's
I thought it was great how much I liked him. I thought he was like a guy. I've seen shows do this before. There's been references to, like, you know, this feels like Buffy's sister or something in the initial, where you have one episode where no one is really acknowledging the fact that this person has changed and that this is a new character because the world, the whole, like, reality has changed. And it also reminds me of, like, Rick and Morty, the Mr. Poo-Poo Pants or whatever his name is. Anyways, if you watch that show, you'll know kind of what I'm talking about. But there's one episode where it's, again, reality's changing around, so they all think, like, and they all talk to this one character like he's always been there. So I like that we've just met him, but we already feel like we know him as a person, and we already kind of have a sense of who he is. He's a stoner. He's like another bro in the bro pack, and he's instantly bonded with he's instantly broded out with the two other bros. And I just kind of, I like his vibe, and I think that's a good move because we know this guy is maybe somewhat temporary, and we know he's replaced someone we already like. So making him kind of a douchebag or something makes it so you don't want him to stay around. I think this makes it more complicated.
I would agree, because I feel like that's the easy way out for a show to, like, we're going to make this guy bad, so you're just rooting for Zari to come back. Mm-hmm. And you're like, all right, we got to get Zari back, and you don't care about him. But I agree with you, Dave. That's one thing I did like, is that they made him so easily fit in to this team.
Yeah.
And he feels lived in amongst the team. So you're like, all right, cool. I mean, so that way, whenever Zari does come back, and we know she will at some point, it's going to make whatever decisions need to be made between Bayrod and Zari all that more hard to make, and maybe more tragic for that story, just because you've become invested in him.
Right. And it did take me a little bit to remember that it was the stuff that happened on Hayworld that made him like who he is now, because we're also coming from the crisis, which put a lot of changes into the world itself.
Right.
Like, afterwards. So I just thought, like, oh, okay, are they famous now because of Crisis? Is this new guy there because of Crisis? And it took me, because there's two things that changed history and changed reality.
Kind of like the same time.
Yeah.
And the same moment for us.
And I feel like maybe that just happened because, like, it just happened by coincidence, really. Just these two writing things happened. But, like, it did take me a moment to kind of adjust because, you know, there's characters that have come back from the dead on other of these episodes, like, so it's good to kind of, like, figure out what's going on and spend an episode kind of reintroducing us to the team. And this was a good way of doing it, having this fake reality show.
True, because they did wait until the winter to do the new season, as opposed to starting it up back in October with everybody else. If they'd done that, by the time Crisis happened, I don't think we'd have those same kind of things that you had, Dave, where it's like, wait, this is a big time change, as well as a whole big universe-altering change coming right on top of each other.
Right. I'm curious about who are going to be our legends this season? Because it's kind of, we just had this episode begins with Charlie leaving.
Right.
But is Charlie leaving just for, like, this episode and then coming back? And also we have Mona leaving at the end of the episode. Right. And it feels like that's a bit more permanent. They might go to Mona for, like, special episodes, but it feels like she's mostly not going to be on the show anymore.
From what I was reading, it's Mona's going to be kind of a reoccurring character this season.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't see anything about Charlie in terms of she's leaving the show at all. Not. So for that, I'm going to have to assume that she is still going to be around, and she just took off this episode, and she'll be back.
Yeah, which personally I don't mind, because a big fault for this show is that there's so many good characters, and it's kind of hard to find, like, a story for each one of them. So I feel like they should have the freedom to let some characters come and go, depending on the episode.
Lauren, I'll ask you this, because we didn't get a chance to really talk about this last week, because we're in full throes of Legends. I'm not a huge fan of the Charlie character, just because I feel like there's not really much going on with her. Mm-hmm. Not much story. I mean, it's a chance to give an actor that the show really loves another role to play. Right. But in terms of the character itself, I don't think there's much to it. So for me, if she did, they did write her off the episode the rest of the season, I'd be fine with it. But it looks like they're not. How do you feel about Charlie?
Charlie is, originally I loved Charlie because it was a totally different side to this actress, and you were able to see her really dive into like this accent and put on different characters within this new character, and I love being able to see those different like arcs of her talent. However, now I feel like Charlie is becoming a little dead and stagnant, and I'm waiting to see, okay, what's happening next with Charlie? Like, we know that she lost her powers, now she got her powers, and now we're just like, okay, are you now going to be free? Because ultimately, the only thing that was holding you there was the fact that you didn't have your freedom. Like, they were keeping you from having your powers. And then you decided, like, hey, this is a good spot for me. I do want to help. You kind of joined that hero wave. So now I feel like it's up in the air with the writers as to whether or not that Charlie character is going to continue to be good. Because she kind of deals with those crazy lines of one moment she's all in, and then the next moment she's for herself. And she kind of dipped off in that moment for herself. So that's the only thing about Charlie that's difficult to take on sometimes. It's interesting to watch, but at the same time, it becomes a little stagnant when you have all these other storylines going on right now. So right now, I'm indifferent about her.
Yeah. And I feel like my feeling is the reason she left, and you have a good point where now she's free. Like, the reason she's on the ship is no longer the main story.
She's not bound.
So it is nice to see her go like, wait a minute, I'm going to go. But if she does come back, my hope is that she comes back somehow carrying more character development with her. Like, I feel like something will be revealed, something would happen that gives us more of an insight into who this person is.
Yes.
So,
well, the crux of this whole season seems to be that the long talked about character Astra from the Constantine show, Constantine had a history. He lost her soul to hell. So finally got reunited last season, and she's been abandoned so long that she's embraced hell and decided to take it over. And now she's releasing all these evil souls back onto Earth. And they decide on the name Encores. Mm-hmm. As opposed to evil do-overs or Villikins. Do you agree that Encores is the best?
Yes, out of those choices especially. I never know with the show if they're actually going to choose the right one, but it's Encores was, I think it's better. It's interesting to start with Rasputin, because that feels like they could have had an episode where Rasputin just has the power to come back from the dead. And that would just be his power, because he's a famous guy who's like known for that. Also, I will say something I think they missed in this episode. If you're bringing Rasputin into it, he was famously drunk all the time. Like, he was constantly drunk and fornicating left and right. So I feel like what they should have done is had him party with McRory a little bit. And I think they missed out on a party scene with McRory and Rasputin just becoming the best of friends over drinks. But
that's true.
It was still good. I just like, if someone's coming back from the, if the running thing are people who come back from the dead, I'm also curious to see, they're not going to put everyone in a jar. They're not going to put everyone into, like, have Adam explode every single person, because that would be a pretty – that would be, like, a traumatizing season.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. I think what's going to happen with Constantine is he's going to get some sort of trick in order to kind of bring them right back to hell. So I'm curious about that. I do like something about this episode is that we got to see everyone use their powers and abilities really well. I feel like there was some good fight scenes and people actually used their powers.
Yeah, because they were being selfish.
What? How so?
Well, they were all, like, no one was working together.
They never worked together.
But this was, like, worse than normal.
Right,
they were
right,
all,
right.
like, in for them. Like, normally, I mean, they still had good intentions and their hearts were in the right place. But at this time, it was like, my way is going to work. No, my way is going to work. My way is going to work. And it was just extra. And I think that played upon the whole theme of them being in a documentary and it being very televised and different things of that nature, which was cute to the tone of the show. But yeah,
right.
That's why we were able to see everyone's powers work extremely well and have their strengths shine, because they were in it for themselves individually.
Well, it's only when they got together that the powers really actually used, like when they finally teamed up at the end.
A little bit.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit. But I feel like those individual moments, it was like them trying their hardest to be the best version of themselves and epically failing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay.
You know, speaking of the documentary crew, I mean, because this is a time-old TV trope of having a documentary crew come into a TV show and kind of upends the way that they film that episode. Usually mm-hmm. it'll be a lot of, you know, kind of confessional setting type shots. And you get to see it's interesting to see a show kind of shot from a different vantage point.
Yes.
But I felt like this one, I don't know, I the way they could play, it was tough to see when what's really on camera and what is supposed to be kind of off camera in this episode.
I don't know. Personally, I think sometimes when they introduce the idea of a documentary crew and have the whole thing shot from a documentary crew, I think it falls into the trap of getting stuck in that medium and wanting to shoot it kind of in that medium the entire time. I like that they did it, but they also came up with ways that it's like, okay, well, we could see him get tiny because we put a little camera on his face. So that was a cool effect, and I feel mm-hmm. like it was cool to see it from that vantage point. And also they did stuff like during the big fight scene, one camera guy broke his camera. So every now and then when it went to that camera, it was always broken.
That was a cool effect.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't need it to be, like, really officed out. I didn't need it to be, like, full on The Office. Like, I kind of like this. This is more of the Modern Family in the Middle sort of sense to it. Are you going to go full Office or are you going to go Modern Family? And I kind of like the Modern Family aspect because they didn't believe it. We have had a lot of people. I know this is in the chat a little bit ago. But it made me want to bring this up. A lot of people are asking about Ryan Cho, who was introduced in The Crisis. And we do know from comic books that he becomes, I guess maybe a little bit of a spoiler, but he does become the Atom after Ray Palmer.
Sorry! What have you done?
I'm sorry.
Oh, come on. We talked about it last week.
Yeah. So is Brandon Routh thinking about leaving the show?
He is leaving sometime about the mid of the season. He's going to be gone.
Okay.
He and his wife are leaving the show.
Right. So maybe we might have him join the Legends.
Yeah. It is interesting because I've not seen where his next landing stop is in mm-hmm. terms of these TV shows. Now that they're all on one Earth, it could be any of them, so to speak. But it would seem the obvious one would be to take over for Ray as their new kind of tech expert slash right. shrinking dude. Mm-hmm. But they have not said, like, oh, yeah, Ryan's coming. He's going to be on the Legends now. So I'm waiting for that announcement. I feel like
he's also got a family. So it's harder to see him wanting to travel around time and space when he's got, like, a newborn and a family. And his first instinct was, oh, the world's about to end. I'm going to hang out with my family,
yeah.
which is great. And you're happy to see it. But to have that person turn into, you know what? I'm going to leave my family. And hang out with these clowns would be a bit of a shift. So I'm curious to see how they do it.
No, I would agree on that because I feel like they stacked the deck too much to feel like, oh, yeah, he can just go off on these time crazy adventures unless they pull the thing where it's, well, we're in a time ship. We can come back to the exact moment.
Yeah.
We left and you won't have missed anything, Ryan.
Right.
Sure.
That's not how it works.
Okay. Yes.
I feel like we have a little bit of time on him because my curiosity is, okay, they're all on one Earth now, but are we going to figure out a way to kind of get more of the multi-universe back?
Mm-hmm.
And if they decide to go that route, that kind of gives him a little bit more time to develop in whichever world he'll end up in.
That's
and
true.
Then cross over maybe in a time jump or something of that nature, which if I was saying, I would say he wouldn't probably come in until like the very, very end of the season, early next season, since we know that we're getting picked up. I would expect him to make that crossover towards the next season if they want to play with the multiverse a little bit.
Yeah. All right.
I also wouldn't mind seeing Wally back.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
I know he's got his music career going on, but it would be great to at least even for a little bit if you wanted to officially kind of guess I'm retiring from the superhero biz.
Yeah.
I'm cool. You know, folks, I think it's time for, as we're wrapping up here, we have minutes left, but we got to do what's the beef?
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? What's the beef? It's the commercial. Where's the beef? It's our segment.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef? Yes. Okay, so.
There you go.
Frank.
Yes.
Let me ask you a very important question.
Lay it on me.
What's your beef?
My beef is, so we start off the episode with like, hey, the legends have gone on to fame and fortune. Look at them. They're doing TV commercials in Japan. They're hosting, they're presenting at the Oscars. What always bums me out on TV shows that do this, like they've gone to fame and fortune, when they do like big events that we have a very good knowledge of what it looks and feels like the Oscars, like it in no way resembles any Oscars that we've seen in forever. This one just has the low budget feel.
Budget Oscar. No. This is what was happening, and you don't see enough of it. I bet it was the technical Oscars. He was giving like best animated like hand or something like that. It's the like B-side Oscars that they just show a clip show of on the actual Oscars.
But see, you know, you feel like that would be the legends, if they were smart enough, they would have put that joke in. It's like they're hosting presenting the Oscars. Right. Oh no, it's just the technical Oscars.
That's hey, you know, man, that bad. They put a lot of their budget into this episode, and I'm okay that the fact that the budget didn't reach to the one Oscar segment that they had.
But it's like don't even do that shot because it just looks budget. All the time, anytime anybody, any show tries to
ruin the rest of the episode for you.
It's just like, all right, I know.
Perhaps there was like a little hidden joke within that of just what they really thought about the Oscars.
It's budget. It's budget.
Not enough budget.
Lauren, I'll ask you, did you have any beef with this episode?
You know, Constantine coming back for that split second at the end, drinking the leftovers Rescued. Of the body, and then, you know, snapping back into hell. I feel like that was an easy out. Like, I would have liked to see a little bit more struggle, and I feel like we're just trying to hurry up and jump to the next thing because, like, obviously, there are a lot of demons that are about to be, you know, rose from the dead. But at the end of the day, I would like to see that struggle of them really trying to figure out how to get back to hell.
To eat that beef a little bit. But isn't that like, I think they're setting up for next week. I think next week is all going to be about Constantine is going to be in hell. I think that's going to be kind of the B story.
Yeah.
I'm guessing here. Or they're doing something with Constantine where they're setting up that he comes back from hell, he fights a couple of people in hell, and has some sort of easy way to trap these people.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, from the pilot and like season two, these type of moments have been a little bit longer for them to figure out the solution for. So I feel like in this moment, for us to go from episode 2 to 3, like, oh, I'm going back. So that was like an easy fix to get back. And then I assumed that all of next episode would be like him fighting or whatever. But really, are we going to get a episode 3 where he's going to still be fighting in hell? No, that's probably just going to be one episode. And I would have liked to see him deal with really struggling with trying to figure out the solution on Earth first.
Right.
And having more than 2 demons pop up to figure out how, I mean, obviously we know it's bad, but I would have liked for there to be something like a higher stake before he went back to hell.
So this could be this, there's still room for them to fix your beef.
Yeah, that's true.
Cause there's still room for them to actually like, cause I agree. I don't like easy fixes on TVs, on TV shows. So like, I'm hoping that it at least takes a couple of episodes to kind of figure out how to save the day. So, but he could, starting off in hell, it could be just the start of things. So, we'll see.
And Mr. Dave Child, do you have a beef?
Oh, what's my beef? I actually really liked this episode. I thought it was like one of the more, I don't know, just because it was so silly and goofy, and it just made me smile the entire episode. And I feel like often, especially coming out of crisis, for me, it was kind of a big sigh of relief. I kind of just felt like the crisis was just, oh, this is terrible. I got to sacrifice myself. I can't explain exactly how I'm sacrificing myself. Also, I'm going to do it three times. I just felt like it just it was all this like fake kind of drama. And it was nice to just go back to these people I liked having fun. The only thing I kind of will miss, I guess my only beef would be the fact that that Rory's going to stop writing romance books. I feel like I feel like he should really continue, and I feel bad that he's giving up on that and giving it over to Mona. Also, you read one letter she wrote, man.
Hey, you know talent when you see it.
I just feel like, I guess he has been working closely with her as she's been this kind of agent for him. And also, I kind of did want to see the dynamic change a little bit. Now that you brought up, like, where they were when they were famous, I like the idea of, like, okay, now Mona is a high-powered agent as well as this werewolf from Hawaii. I want to see what that's like, but we're not going to see that at all. It's just going, it went right back to zero, like as soon as they have it. I liked the fact that no one really trusts Ray Palmer because he was Neuron for like a split second, but that's going to get forgotten and it's going to come back. Yeah, I true. Like there to be like stakes. If you're introducing it, then those stakes remain.
I guess I agree. If it was a show that was always set in 2020, mm-hmm. so you had to, so Ray had to deal with that on a regular basis, but they're traveling through time all the time. So nobody back in, you know, what, 1930s Hollywood is going to care that Ray was a Neuron. So in terms of that, it's not going to be something that's going to be really
But that would
on.
Be a good reason for him to continue being part of the Legends. You can build up their characters through these, like, modern time problems that are happening. Like, maybe Mona doesn't like being a security person, like a agent person, so she is getting back into the Wave Rider because of it. So, I don't know. Stuff like that would be nice.
Mm. From the words of Dave Child, from your lips to Keto's ears.
Yeah.
Look at that. As they're working on season 6.
Yeah.
There you go. So real quick, one bit of news as we're getting ready to wrap up here.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Lauren, you did mention about the multiverse, and there was an article with Mark Guggenheim that explained that at the end of the episode 5 of the Crisis crossover, we saw Stephen Amell narrate, you know, at the beginning there was a world and all this stuff, and kind of set up the new setting of the universe. There is indeed a multiverse, but since all our Arrowverse shows, their Earths were merged together, they're the only ones that don't realize that there is still a multiverse.
Oh.
And the reason that they did that is they want them to not know about that for a while, because then every other storyline out of that would be like, we got to get it back to the way it was. We got to get it back to the way it was. And the writers just wanted to not have to worry about focusing on that. So to the characters, all they know right now is that their Earth is the only one that exists. But the multiverse still does exist with all Titans, Doom Patrol, the DC Cinematic Universe, all that stuff still exists. And at some point, who knows when, we may get a chance to go and explore the multiverse again. But as for right now, I think probably for the rest of this season at least, everybody's going to think that their Earth is the only Earth.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It makes sense. That. I could see that. We kind of derail the rest of the season if you're just trying to restore the mess that you thought you cleaned up.
That would get very old.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of another Legends of Tomorrow show. Lauren, how are you feeling? Are you excited now, or are you scared that you made this choice to join the Wave
Rider? Challenge accepted. There's so much. I mean, I love this show, and there's I think this is a good challenging show to get introduced to for the DC fans because there's so many connections to the other shows. So yeah, I'm here for it.
Let's awesome. It. It's going to be exciting. Big thanks to Jonathan for that sweet special segment graphic.
Yeah.
Mwah! Yeah. Beautiful.
You're beautiful.
But beautiful. As always, folks, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. We're glad the chat is up and running. We're glad you're here with us for a whole new season of Legends Goofiness. I'm sure there's going to be much beef presented. How much of it gets eaten this season? I guess it's up to Dave and Lauren to find out.
Yeah, we will be off next week because they're doing. He wanted to just trick you into tuning in again, but yeah, they're doing a special Long Arrow. Remember that Arrow sort of segment. So there's no Legends next week. So we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think they're calling it Quivering Lips.
Ew.
No?
Just ew.
Okay. That was just a try. Use it, WB TV promo team. Use it. please. But if you want to stay in touch with any of us, even after the show's over, Jonathan, you don't like to have anybody follow you on social, so please give me your home address.
It's going to be 482 North Hollywood Way. Yeah.
All right, perfect.
You want to give your social while you're at it?
7284 3 2
Go, okay, great. 8 And you can find me, I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MR Dave Child on the Twitters and the Instagram at DaveChild.com for all your Dave Child needs.
Oh, oh boy.
We have a little. Yeah. Oh, man. And as always, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lauren B. Mosley. That's M-O-S-L-E-Y. And let's chat.
That's right. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. Folks, that's going to do it. As Dave said, we'll be back February 4th. That's right. So you can say your fond farewells to Stephen O'Mell and the rest of the Arrow team next Tuesday. And we'll be back here the Tuesday after that for an all-new episode of the Legends of Tomorrow After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. Speed off.
Swampy.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.